Joining us via the Digis Hotline, he's our friend. He's an athlete. He loves Vine. He's our Utah Jazz insider for the Deseret News. We got none other, ladies and gentlemen. I'm giving you a round of applause because I enjoy you. This is Jody Ginnessy. How's that feel? Does it feel good?
That felt good. Thank you for the applause. I laughed at the athlete label. I will take it. I feel like I am a very good buffet athlete.
Well, we're glad.
And I am definitely a vino or a vine connoisseur, depending on how you look at it. But yes, that's become my obsession and downfall, maybe.
No, it's not a downfall. Let me ask you a question. We were just talking about Russell Wilson. He loves him some Kenny Chesney. When he gets fired up, ready to do his thing, he puts the headphones on. I'm sure they're Beats by Dre. Slaps him on the noggin and listens to Kenny Chesney. When you get going, when you want to get focused, when you want to get motivated and feel good, what do you listen to, Jody?
Oh, I saw Kenny Chesney with Tim McGraw once. Talk about two powerhouses. Holy cow. Right now, I'm into Imagine Dragons. I don't have a lot of music, honestly, Keith. I need to probably look into that iTunes. My iTunes account includes one Imagine Dragons album that somehow got on there, the U2 album that I got for free, and some interviews from Jazz Media Sessions. I'm a weirdo. I'll admit it.
I'll tell you.
Imagine Dragons, I love them.
I was listening to some Michael Bublé a couple of days ago. I was feeling a little down, feeling a little melancholy. And, boy, did it make me feel better.
He's fun. He's fun. I used to love Harry Connick Jr. He's kind of in that mold.
It's
that Frank Sinatra, good old-fashioned Tony Bennett music. That's fun.
He's a crooner. He can croon and soothe and also swoon with the ladies. Hey, Jody, let's talk about Utah Jazz. Halfway through the season, won 14 games. That's pretty much what was projected. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, I picked them to win 32 games this season, and that's still attainable. So they're a little bit behind my projections, which, you know, I kind of take offense to. That 9-game losing streak they had really set them back as far as that goes. They could really care less about my predictions. But interestingly enough, though, I mean, Quinn Snyder just keeps on talking about how he's not going to judge the team on wins and losses. And he knows that that's a byproduct of the actual play on the floor, and that is ultimately how he will be judged. But right now, he just is all about the process. Some are all about the base. Quinn Snyder is all about the process.
So is Cantor going to get traded? I know we talked about this last week, but it seems to be rearing its head, especially with the play of Gobert. He's killing it right now. So are they just going to go, okay, we didn't sign you to that contract, Cantor, so maybe you should go on your way. Maybe we can get something for that.
Yeah, I mean, the more the season progresses, the more I just think it looks like Cantor's time here is, you know, dwindling. And I think, I mean, honestly, if they can get something for him at trade deadline in the next month, they probably should, because unless he can accept a different role than he probably wants with the Jazz, and unless they're willing to pay him more money than they would probably like to next offseason, because I think he will get a nice paycheck, then I think that he's going to go and they're going to not get anything from him. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of the situation like they let Paul Millsap and Al Jefferson both go without making the trade to get some return. Granted, they did open up some salary slots, and so they kind of got the addition by subtraction. But, yeah, I mean, if you can get something from Cantor now, you probably might as well. I just think that Rudy Gobert, the progress he's made this season is just, I mean, we just keep on talking about it. It's just remarkable. If Jimmy Butler wasn't kicking butt in Chicago, then I think Rudy would be the number one most improved player candidate. I think he's, the buzz that he's getting right now around the NBA is pretty remarkable for a team, for a player from a team with 14 wins. So, Rudy's time is coming.
So did they continue to start Cantor so they can showcase him and help him audition for other teams?
I think there are multiple reasons. That's probably, you know, on that list. I don't think that's high on the list. I think that Quinn Snyder likes what Cantor brings offensively, and he thinks that he's improved defensively. and that he's not consistent defensively. And, you know, the last couple of games he hasn't been consistent offensively either. He just seems – I think he has some self-confidence issues. He can sulk and get upset and kind of shrinks a little bit for a big guy who's 6'11" and has a, you know, a strong body. He sure is quiet in the game at times. So, but when he's confident and he's shooting well, he's a really valuable asset. So I think that's something he really needs to work on, is believing in himself and being more consistent in the head. I mean, that's a hard thing for some of these players to do, especially young players who are temperamental, which he is. I think that Snyder likes what he brings to the lineup. You know, they have four good, pretty good bigs. They have one terrific all-around big in Derek Favors, and then Ennis brings the offense. Rudy brings the defense, and Trevor Booker's a really nice backup four. So it's just finding the right roles for all four of those guys.
You know, Jody, when you talk about back to Cantor, because I find it to be fascinating, when you say that he's a little, you didn't say the word moody, but you're saying that he has some issues and gets frustrated. Is that recent, or has that been the whole time? Because I know recently, if I'm in his shoes and I'm hearing everyone talk about how much they love Gobert, I'm getting tired of hearing it. So if I'm Cantor, people are going, oh, he's really keeping to himself and doesn't want to talk. Well, you know what? No kidding. That's, to me, that is so easy to understand. But if you're telling me he's always been that way, then I go, I understand. Then you say, well, by the way, he is 22. And you go, okay, well, then there's that too. So you have, to me, factor in all of those circumstances to try to decide what you got when you have a guy like Cantor. Is he moody? Is he a head case? Is he a mess? Or is he tired of hearing about how good-looking Gobert is?
I think it's probably the latter. I mean, he can be moody, but he's always treated me terrifically. And anytime I've ever wanted to interview him, he's, you know, he doesn't necessarily give all the greatest answers, but he is respectful and certainly participates, and I appreciate that. So there isn't a problem as far as that goes. But I think, yeah, I mean, Rudy is coming on strong. Cantor was thinking that his moment was here after Al and Paul left. He and Derek were going to be the bigs. You know, go back to the locker cleanout last year, and yeah, he made it clear that he didn't like his role with under Coach Corbin, and that he felt like he was kind of stifled last year and didn't get enough playing time. And there were some frustrations in his camp for sure. And I think that they were pretty excited to get a new coaching staff here. And Quinn Snyder went out to Chicago and met with Ennis this offseason, and things got off to a really good start. He's healthy this year, and suddenly he's just not playing as well as he had hoped that he'd play consistently. I think his offense is okay, but he just has those confidence issues. And when he gets down on himself, and you can just see the facial expressions and the body language that he has. Just really, he's hard on himself, and it just isn't. I don't think it's good, and I think he really needs to work on that and be more positive and have a more optimistic, consistent, good attitude. I think that would really help him. But it's hard when you think that things are going to go one way and suddenly they go another way and you've got somebody nipping on your heels. And Rudy certainly is doing that. He's a big person to be in your shadow.
Yeah, you know what? I think about it this way. You think about, okay, he came off the season last year, didn't like the way things were going with Ty Corbin. He gets a new head coach. Quinn Snyder comes out, says, you know what? Let's go out for pizza and breadsticks. We're going to have a good dinner. And he's excited about it. He starts doing well. He started the season very well, you may recall, Jody. And then suddenly, this dude over here, this Gobert character that was supposed to be basically Jeremy Evans 0.1, suddenly is playing out of his mind. And then so he starts feeling that pressure. But I think he didn't realize that Gobert would turn into what he's turning into right now. And I think that most people didn't. And I think the people that say, oh, I knew this would happen with Gobert, they're out of their minds.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of saw the potential, especially defensively, with Gobert. But I didn't think that he would be a consistent factor in games until his third or fourth or fifth season. And for him to come off of last year where he was averaging, what was it, 8 or 9 minutes and only 45-ish games, 46, 47, somewhere around there. So he barely played in over half of the games, and he's only getting some garbage time minutes last year. And probably rightfully so. He just wasn't ready to be out on the NBA court last year, and that's a debate that people will say that he should have been on the court playing more last year. I disagree. I think that the Jazz handled him well, let him train and get better in practice and with coaches and in the film room, and then slowly bring him in. But this year, the Jazz slowly brought him in, and wow, he demanded more playing time, and he's getting it. And opportunities have been there, and he's not perfect, but look at some of the areas where he's improved, man. He's a better rebounder. He's a far better free throw shooter, and so that, to me, shows how focused he is. He's still not a great free throw shooter, but he was shooting less than 50% last year, and now this year he's hitting two-thirds of his free throws. I think that, for a big man, that's a boost of confidence, and I think he's a better passer. He still needs to work on his hands. I compare his hands to Greg Ostertag's. You know, you wondered if he had cinder blocks for for hands, but I don't know if he can improve in that area. I don't soften. Use more lotion or something to soften those mitts up. But overall, his game is just, man, he's just on a really impressive trajectory right now.
His name is Jody Guinness, beat writer for the Utah Jazz for the Deseret News. Jody, thanks for being on the show. And I tweeted this out. I'm sure you saw this, but the intros that they did for the Atlanta Hawks game yesterday, they had the gospel choir come out and do the introductions. If you haven't seen that, do yourself a favor. Check it out. We're gonna talk about it coming up here in a few minutes, but I'm going to play some of the audio. But they had a gospel choir introing the starting players for the Atlanta Hawks yesterday, and it was entertaining and very, very well done.
Oh, that is awesome. You know, the Jazz played on Martin Luther King Jr. Day a few years ago in Washington. It was kind of neat. I was able to go to the National Civil Rights Museum in Memphis. It's the old Lorraine Motel where MLK Jr. was killed.
Yeah.
And for a lily white Utah Mormon boy, it was really eye-opening and a great experience. And I would suggest anybody go and learn more about civil rights and in this country. And I'll definitely have to go check out that Atlanta intro. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I tweeted it out, so maybe you could just access it that way. I've got it set there right for you.
It'd be all right. Well, I'm going to go on your Twitter, and then I will retweet your tweet.
I think that's what I'm getting at. That was a long way for me to go to retweet it. Jody, you're the man. I appreciate you being on the show. It is always a pleasure, and we'll see you soon.
Hey, thanks a lot, Keith.
There you go. That's Jody Guinness. He is our friend.